Our topic today is the law of love. The law of love is spiritual. The law of love is moral. It's the nature of God. The law of love is the transcript of God's character. God does have a law, and that law is the law of love. It's spiritual, it's moral, and it is a transcript of what God is. It's a reflection of God, God's nature. Now, everything in the universe functions and is controlled by fixed laws. Nature itself functions by law, and everything in it. The weather that changes from day to day functions based on laws. That's why the weatherman can reasonably predict what the weather is going to be. He knows the laws that govern the weather. And when he studies those laws, then he can reasonably predict what the weather is going to be. He can foretell tornadoes and rain storms, etc. Plants grow based on law. A good gardener or a good farmer studies the laws that govern farming or gardening. And then they can be a good farmer or a good gardener because they know the laws. Everything functions by law. Humans, animals, and plants reproduce based on fixed laws. Men have studied all manner of different laws. That's why they can fly an airplane, fly a machine. That's why they can make a radio work or a cell phone work. They know certain laws and they know how to apply them and use them and benefit. There are laws that govern our health. If we obey the laws of health, we will be healthy by God's grace. If we break the laws of health, we will reap the benefits. We will reap what we sow. Ill health. Even fallen mankind, who in many respects is altogether perverted, functions by fixed and set laws. There are civil laws. There are criminal laws. We even have traffic laws. We would not be able to function without laws. And so the question arises, how could anyone ever think or teach or believe that God has no law? Or that God has changed his law or done away with his law? The thought of it does not make sense. Neither is it true. God does have a law. It has always been, and it will always be. It is a reflection of what he is. It is a transcript of his character. That is his moral law, which is spiritual. In the Bible, in 1 John 3:4, the Bible says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So, the Bible defines what sin is. The Bible says, sin is transgression of the law. Sin is law breaking. When you break the law of God, you have sinned. So, if God has no law, or if God has done away with his law, then there would therefore be no sin. It would be impossible for there to be any sin. Why? Because there's no law. And we know that that is not the case. But yet, many have gone about and taught that God has done away with his law. If God's law has to be changed or dissolved because mankind sinned, then God and his law is part of the problem. If God could deal with the sin problem by changing or casting away the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. The only thing God needed to do was just change his law. Accept man on a different basis. Remove sin. He would just change his law. All such is quite blind, quite foolish. And then we have to be amazed at how it is taught in the religious world and in churches that God has done away with his law. Misinterpreting the scriptures, misguiding those who are seeking to follow the law of love by telling them that God has done away, by teaching them that God has cast away his law. The truth is, God has a law. And the law of God is the basis and foundation for all other true, just, and balanced laws. God has a moral law, and by this law, eternal life operates. This law is spiritual. By the spiritual and moral law of God, eternal life, the life of God functions. And remember, the law of God is a transcript of his nature and character. How do we know this? Why do I say that? What scripture do we have that indicates that? I want to look at it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And this is what the Bible says. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. There are not too many texts in the Bible that seek to define what God is. But this text does. It tells us what God is. And it tells us that God is love. Therefore, the Bible points out to us that if we know God, that means we have spiritual intercourse with God. We have intimacy with God. If we know God, then we are born of him. And if we are born of him, we will love. It happens by nature. It is the natural outworking of being born of God and knowing God. And the Bible also tells us that if one doesn't love, they're in a church where they hate their fellow church members, don't like them, They're on a job where they hate their fellow workers. They're in a neighborhood where they hate their neighbors, see? If they live that way, the Bible says they don't know God. For God is love. We need to come to grips with this and check our own selves, not our neighbor. Do I love my fellow man? Or is it that I despise certain individuals and certain church members and certain leaders and certain people on my job and in my neighborhood, certain folk who I have concluded are my enemies? I hate them. I despise them. Do I have that dwelling within me? If so, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. Now, seeing that God is love, I want to look at 1 John 5, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And this is what the Bible says. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The Bible says this is love, that we keep his commandments. It is the conduct of love. It is the expression of love. It's how love acts and reacts. That's what the commandments are. They're not just a set of rules and regulations like we have made them out to be. A set of restrictions. That's not what they are. They are the expression of what God is. They are the expression of love. The outwork of love. The way love conducts itself. The way love acts and reacts toward God and toward their fellow man. That's why the Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then it makes us to know, it's instructing us, it's enlightening us, that his commandments are not grievous. So many in the religious world see the law of God as a yoke, as a burden. In the realm where we are lawbreakers and we live against the law and thus are condemned by the law, it would be against us. But when we are law keepers, when the law is in our hearts and in our minds, and we live the expression of love, the law is not a burden. It's not bondage. Neither is it grievous, because it's a reflection of what God is. That's why the Bible says in this text, when we love God, we keep his commandments. It's natural. It's automatic. It's the outworking of love. Let's look at 2 John, that is, chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is what the Bible says. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. The Bible teaches us that love is walking after the commandments of God. That's what love is. It says that repeatedly. Now, the Bible also says that this commandment has been from the beginning. And surely it has. God's law has never changed. Even before the law of God, the Ten Commandments, were written on tables of stone, they existed. In that law, it says that thou shalt not kill. When Cain, the oldest son of Adam, killed his brother Abel, he sinned. Now, if the law didn't come into existence until the time it was given on Mount Sinai, then when Cain killed Abel, he hadn't done anything wrong because there was no law, which is not true. Simply foolishness. The law existed from the beginning. It was never right to kill. It was never all right to steal. It was never all right to lie or covet your neighbor's property and wife and house. It was never right. It was always wrong to have another God before the God of heaven, or to make light of his name or take his name in vain. Those things have always been a sin, even from the beginning. I want us to take a closer look at the law of love. In the New Testament, Jesus said there are two great commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, the first four commandments of the 10 illustrate how you live, how you act when you love God. The second commandment, Jesus pointed out, love your neighbor as yourself. The second set of the 10 commandments, the last six, tells us how we act and react toward our fellow man if we love him. They are the law of love. All of the commandments are the laws of love, the expression of love. They are not a yoke of bondage, as we have falsely interpreted the Bible to be saying. The Bible never said that. I want to turn over in the Bible to Exodus chapter 20. And this is where the Ten Commandments is recorded. I want to just take a minute to look at them. And as we go down these Ten Commandments, I want you to think in your mind and determine which of these commandments is done away with. Exodus 20, the first commandment, starts in verse 3 and it says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Do we think that's no longer binding? Do we think it's all right for us to have another God? No, we don't. Second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I believe the keeping of the commandments is very important. How many think this second commandment is no longer binding? How many think that we can make a god of wood or stone, gold or silver, and bow down and worship it in place of God? How many believe that? There are some who do. But we don't. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How many think that it's all right to do that? The fourth commandment starts off with the word remember. I wonder why God chose to start this commandment off with the word remember. Is it? Or could it be that God, who sees the end from the beginning, foresaw that humankind was going to forget? The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. How many think that that's binding? How many think that we should forget it in spite of the fact that God said remember it? How many of us think that? As we look at how religion is dealt with in the world today, it's a clear and evident fact that many believe that. And it is the very commandment that God said remember. And God said that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. That's the Lord's day, according to the Bible. Let's look at the next commandment. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. How many think that that commandment is done away with, and it's all right for children to dishonor their parents and curse them and disobey them and disrespect them? How many believe that? The next commandment, thou shalt not kill. How many think that's done away with? Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many think it's all right for their husband and their wife to go out and have sexual relations with anybody to get ready to? How many think that's fine? Thou shalt not steal. How many believe it is all right for people to come into your house and steal your property, take your car if they want? How many believe that? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. How many believe that it's all right to lie because there's no law? It's done away. It's no law. How many believe that? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. How many believe that it's fine to covet whatever your neighbor owns, long for it and desire it? And how many think that we should practice that? Not too many of us. And when we look at the law of God, one thing is true. We seem to pick and choose. Most of us believe that nine of them is still binding. Nine of them we believe is still binding. The only one we definitely throw in the trash as a rule is the fourth commandment. But then there are some who throw the second commandment. They make idols. They make different images. They bow down to them. They're God. So they throw that one in the trash along with the fourth commandment. But all in the universe, for the most part, especially those of us who dwell in the religious world here upon this earth, we believe that at least eight of them are absolutely binding. We've picked out the ones. We seem to have the religion of Cain. We want to do God's will our way. We want to decide what's binding and what's not. God gave 10. Some of us say, no, I only want 9. God gave 10. Some of us say, only 8. I want 8. The Bible says in James, he that offends in one point is guilty of all. Whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. We cannot afford to disregard even so much as one of God's precepts and be faultless. We've got to realize that if we love God, we'll keep the first four commandments. That's how we express our love to God. And if we love our fellow man, for absolute certain, and about 100% of you will agree with this, we'll keep the last six commandments. That's the expression of love. That's how we conduct ourselves when we love one another. Now I want to look, and I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Because it's bringing out something very important there that we need to take to heart. I want you to know that oftentimes when the law is written outside of us, on stone or in a book, it seems like only a set of rules and restrictions and regulations. It also serves as a mirror to show us that we're evil and that we are sinners. It tells us what sin is so that we know what sin is. That's the role of the law written outside of us. It's a mirror to show us that we are sinners. There's no need breaking the mirror because I'm dirty. That does not make me clean. God has a law, and the law cannot change. Ceremonial laws, yes, they are done away because they are fulfilled when Christ came and fulfilled the sacrificial system. So the ceremonial laws and the sacrificial laws, they were abolished. They were done away because they were fulfilled. But God's spiritual law, God's moral law, the conduct of life, the law by which eternal life functions, can never be done away with because it is a reflection of what God is. Love is a transcript of God's character. Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." The New Covenant, the New Testament, as we will see in just a moment, more clearly, is God writing the same law that he wrote on tables of stone in our hearts. The same law that is written with ink on paper, the same law that is written by the finger of God on tables of stone outside of us, is the same law that God writes in us. That's the New Testament. That's the New Covenant. I want to read that for you in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, will I remember no more." God says, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them upon their hearts. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is the law written in stone outside of man. The New Testament, the New Covenant, is the same law, but it's written this time in the heart and in the minds of men. It's the same law. It's just different locations that it's placed at. One shows me that I'm a sinner when it's written outside of me, but when it's written inside of me, it becomes not just what I know, it becomes what I am. It becomes traits of character. It becomes the principles of love. It becomes an expression of what God is. It becomes the way I live, the way I act and react. Why? Because God has written it in my heart and in my mind. And they take on a new role. They're not just rules and regulations. They then become 10 promises. They're not just, you shall not steal or otherwise you'll be lost. You shall have no other God before me, otherwise you will be lost. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't commit adultery, otherwise your soul will be lost. It's not that anymore. It's not trying to force yourself to do good. It's different. God writes it within you. So now it's traits of character. They become 10 promises. And God is saying to you that because I have written my law in you, and because I will give you my spirit to strengthen you and to equip you and to empower you, I promise you, by my power and by my grace, thou shalt have no other God before me. You shall not bow down to any other God, because you're not going to make any other graven image. You are going to not take my name in vain. You will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I promise you that you will honor your father and your mother. You'll do that by my power, by my might. I promise you, you will not kill. You will not commit adultery. You will not steal. You will not bear false witness. And you will covet nothing that your neighbor has or owns. I promise you, you will do that. Because I will live in you. I will empower you. I will make it what you are not to do these things. They become 10 promises. And that's the beauty of the law. The law hasn't been done away with. The new covenant is the same law that God had from the beginning, that he wrote on tables of stone at Sinai. That same law, he writes it in our hearts and minds. It's spiritual. It's the expression of love. It's God's moral law. It's the law by which eternal life functions. It's love. It's love to God first. It's love for mankind second. The expression, the outworking of love to God. So now, keep these things in mind and be no longer misled and deceived that the law has been done away with. God's law is binding. All 10 of those precepts, they are the precepts of love. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for being so willing to take that which you have written outside of us in stone and written that same set of principles in our hearts, so that it's no longer just what we know or what we're trying to force ourselves to do, but now it's what we are. It's what you have made us to be. It's the impartation of what you are, O God, into us. You are love, and you write your principles of love in us. Help us to see the law in a new light, in the real light, in the true light. Help us to see that it is indeed the law of love. It's not just rules and regulations. It's not the yoke of bondage that we have been misled to believe that it is. Lord, help us. Teach us, show us, fulfill the new covenant in us, that we might do by nature the things contained in your law. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.